Good morning, everybody. I don't know why I had to draw the short straw of trying to preach a sermon after that meal, but we'll see what we can get done here. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3 today. Galatians chapter 3. We were there last week, but I'm supposed to move into chapter 4, but I'm going to... We got to give a little bit of a start out of chapter 3. So, I chose against the Mother's Day message today, but happy Mother's Day to everybody. And decided to just stay with our normal course in Galatians. So, we're going to start in Galatians. We read about this and talked a little bit about it last week. Well, probably a fair bit about it, but I wanted to touch on a little bit more. We're going to start in verse 27. And it says, "For all of you who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have clothed yourself with Christ." Now, that idea of clothing yourself, and there's other spots, and we'll go to a couple. Same as putting on Christ. That means literally to put one's skin on yourself. And so by saying that, putting on Christ and being clothed with Christ, what we're saying is that we are putting on the image of Christ. Now, it's not talking about the physical. It's not actually physically putting the skin of Jesus on us, or the look of Jesus, or the appearance of Jesus when he was on earth on us. But what it is talking about is the getting the appearance of Christ, the spiritual Christ. Christ on the throne, the Christ that is righteous and holy, and putting that on requires us to live in such a way. And we're going to go over to a couple of spots. We're going to bounce back and forth quite a bit. The main spot's going to be in Galatians chapter 3 and 4. I'm going to bounce a few different passages. The first one's in Romans chapter 13. It just has kind of the same phrase, but it worded different here. Romans chapter 13, it's in verse 14. It says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lust." Same thing there. The Greek on it literally means to put one's skin on. When it's talking about that, literally put one skin on. Literally take the image of somebody else. And we're going to get, this is kind of just laying a little bit of a foundation, because we're going to talk about that quite a bit later on, but the idea of putting on Christ. Back in Galatians, we'll go back there. When we put clothes on, a lot of times it can change how we look. I was in a restaurant in Weibo here, probably 2-3 weeks ago, and I was wearing my baseball clothes for coaching baseball and stuff. We just got out of the practice, and I said hi to this guy when he walked in and when he walked out. Neither time he recognized me, but if I was wearing a cowboy hat, he would have talked to me. He would have come up and talked to me probably, but I know he didn't recognize me because he just said hi and kept walking. But it's a guy that I would have a conversation with. He would come up and have a conversation with me about lots of different things if he recognized me. But I was not wearing the clothes that he normally saw. Now, we can change our appearance and do different things, but when we're putting on Christ, we have to be recognized like that all the time. It's not something you can put on and take off. It's not like a cowboy hat where, you know, you can wear it sometimes and people recognize you. If you're wearing Christ, if you're putting on Christ, you got to put it on all the time. You got to be able to be recognized as who you are. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." You know, I was thinking about this verse some this week, and especially with how things are kind of in our nation right now. You know, we have the race wars. We have a lot of talk about race, and we have a lot of battles between men, women, and things like that. In our country, there's definitely division over physical appearance. To God, there's no division in physical appearance. God doesn't see physical appearance. God sees spiritual appearance. He sees a people who are righteous, a people who are living for Christ, a people who have put on Christ. That's what God sees. He doesn't see black, white. He doesn't see red. He doesn't see female. He doesn't see male. He doesn't see any of that. He sees his children. He sees his people. There's no race war in heaven because people don't care about it. And there shouldn't be here either. We shouldn't care about it. But people do, and that's something we have to battle against. You know, even to the point where in a lot of places in the United States, not so much up north, but more so down south, there's all black churches. Now, the whole idea seems wrong to me. You know, whether it was all black churches, there should not be that. It should be the church. Now, when we can look and we can see that there's division among the religious world, and when we can see that, where there's different denominations and different things, and we've talked quite a bit about that and how that's not right either, probably, and how we're not a denomination and we don't really associate with those. But the fact is people are always looking for something to identify with, or to show separation with them, or show separation with this, or we're isolated to this group or that group. It kind of muddies the waters. When you look around the religious world in the United States and there's like 240 different denominations that call themselves Christians, well, if there's 240 different denominations, that's 240 different beliefs. Either you got to figure out whether you're right or you're wrong. Now, most of them say that they all agree with the others. If you get down to it and you look at their doctrine, they don't. They disagree with each other. And when we started this congregation here, I've had family who asked me, well, what, isn't there any other Christians in Glendive? Well, I don't know. I've been looking. I've been talking to people. Maybe there is. But you know what? The first congregation that was built in Glendive, I don't know what it was, but there's like 17 of them now. Those were all new congregations at some point. Couldn't they have joined up with somebody else? The fact is that if you go to the 17 different congregations on Glendive and you get down to it, nobody's going to agree that the other one is going to heaven. They're all going to say, no, they're not, eventually. Off the top, they're going to say, we associate with them. But there's some congregations that don't associate with other ones. And if you get down to it, there's a reason that the people from the Lutherans don't go over to the Evangelicals. And there's a reason that the people of the Evangelicals don't go over to the Alliance. Because there's different beliefs, and they don't agree with each other. In the true church, there has to be unity on truth. If you don't have unity in truth, then you don't have nothing. Here he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. He doesn't say, you know, you don't have to be a Jew or you don't have to be a Greek. He says, there is neither one. There is neither male nor female. There is neither slave nor free man. Neither. It doesn't say you don't have to be. It says there is neither one of these. In John chapter 4, and it's a passage, and Kirk wrote a little booklet on it, and we've talked about it a lot, the idea of worship, and how Christ, when he's talking to the lady at the well, he says, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship. It's not one or the other, it's neither. It's the same thing here. There is neither Jew nor Greek. It's not one or the other. There's not black, there's not white. There is none of it. None of it. Verse 29 says, and if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. And we read this last week as well. Acts chapter 2. After Peter's first gospel message, after Jesus died, first message about him being crucified on the cross and raising again from the dead and ascending to heaven, he tells them that they killed the Christ. They're pierced to the heart, and they ask Peter and the brethren what they should do. And then verse 38, he says, and Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. As many as the Lord our God will call to himself. It doesn't say it's for the Jews. It doesn't say it's for the Gentiles. It doesn't say it's for the blacks, the whites, the reds, the yellows. It doesn't say anything. It says it's for all in whom he calls to himself. Turn back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. We'll start in there, verse 1. It says, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from the slave, although he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of this world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, kind of a paraphrase here in a lot of ways. Verse 11, we're going to start. It says, "But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may be glorified with him." You see, at one time, we were far off. And God didn't just bring us into his circle. God brought us in and made us sons. We are heirs to the throne. You see, what they're talking about here in Galatians, you know, when a child is of the master, is a child still, he's really no better than slaves. He still has somebody watching over him, telling him what to do and making sure everything's, you know, he's growing up and doing stuff. But until that date, well, that date's come and gone. God sent his Son. He died on the cross for us. He rose again. He conquered death. He went back to heaven. He is on his throne, and he has adopted us as sons if we are a part of him. It says here in verse 11 of chapter 8 that we just read, "But if the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of Jesus, who's raised from the dead, dwells within you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit who indwells you." When we get to heaven, when we get to the judgment day, the questions aren't going to be, are you a Jew? Are you a Gentile? Are you black? Are you white? Are you male, female? That's going to mean nothing. The question is going to be, whose Spirit indwells you? Do you have the Holy Spirit? That's going to be the difference of what it is. Not about our physical appearance, but our inner man. The appearance of our inner man. Adoption as sons. Back to Galatians. Chapter 4. Verse 7. Says, "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." In England, back in the day, I just about said Jane Austen days, but That's just because of Jane's a Jane Austen fan. But back in the days where there was status meant everything, and how much money you had and all that stuff, and the size of your house and all that stuff made a big difference of how you rated in the world back in those days. And not just, it was bigger in Europe, and at one time it was kind of big in the United States, I imagine, at the beginning. There was a lot of stuff about that, but it was big about the people who worked for the people never ate with the master of the family, and never ate with the family. They brought them the food, and they cleaned their house, and they cleaned their clothes, and did all that stuff. But they ate out in the kitchen or wherever they ate, and the same thing. If you went to, you all had to be invited to the big fancy balls. You didn't get to go just go and buy a ticket. It was all about whether your status was there. And the same thing to a point now. You have the king and queen of England and the princes and the dukes and all this different stuff. However, it all lines up. And in America, we don't really care about it anymore. But the thing about it is, it's still there. And you can't just go to is it Buckingham Palace? So it's called. You can't just go to Buckingham Palace and walk up to the front door and ask, you know, to borrow some sugar. It don't happen. Now. This is kind of interesting because the way we should look at it for ourselves is kind of like a slave in England going and knocking on that door, and they invite him in and make him a prince. Because that's exactly what Christ has done for us. He has invited us in. We've come to the door, and we've knocked on the door, and he's let us in, and he's not only let us come eat with him, but he has made us a son. He has made us an heir to the throne. Christ has taken somebody who is a slave and made them royalty. And he can do it for all of us. All who he calls. Christ does not see the physical. Christ sees the spiritual. We are no longer Jews and Greeks. We are no longer males and females. We are no longer slaves or free men. We are sons of God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. I should probably get the second then at first. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to his flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I saw a picture yesterday that somebody had put on Facebook, and it was a picture of a tree, an old tree that was really big base on it, and probably, you know, I don't know what it would be, probably 5-6 feet across, and it was split completely open and fell over. And out of the middle of it grew another tree. And somebody had said, this is what it looks like to become a Christian. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty good analogy and whatnot. But one thing that was still happening is the base of that tree was still attached. See, you could still see that tree. You see the new tree, and you could still see the old tree. Christ doesn't see that old tree. Christ sees that old tree is completely gone. Completely let go. The dead man is completely put behind us. He's not dragging along. He is gone. He sees nothing but the new growth. We are a new creature if we are in Christ. We are not the same person we used to be. We are no longer of the flesh, living of the Spirit. In a world that tries to pin everybody against each other, based on physical things. Let's be a people who stands up in the middle and shines as a spiritual thing. You know what? and I don't have a pastor, and I just thought of it just now. I can't remember where it was, but it was a disagreement, and I believe it was Moses. There was disagreement among the people, and they asked him, you know, to choose sides or whatever, and he didn't choose sides. He chose the right path. He chose God. Mike Ferguson quoted that at Helena Family Camp, and I can't remember what it was, but basically what he was saying about it was I don't have to choose between Black Lives Matter and the conservatives or whatever it is. I don't have to choose one or the other. He said, I don't have to choose between this group and that group because I choose God's group. I choose God and God's path. You don't have to make a choice between two bad things. Now, I've got beliefs on both sides of that, and I disagree with one side of it strongly, and I agree with one other side of it quite a lot more. But still, the point is, we do not have to choose between physical battles in this world. Because the choice might not be, either way might not be right. Sometimes there's a third option. Sometimes neither of the options have Christ in them. Sometimes we have to choose Christ. Let's go out. Let's be that shining light. Let's stand up in the middle. Let's be that hope. Let's show Christ because we have Him on us. We have put Christ on. You've been clothed with Christ. Make sure people recognize you as being clothed with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the brothers and sisters around the world that are serving you and furthering your kingdom. Lord, I just thank you so much for the gathering here this morning in Glendive. And Lord, I just pray that you encourage everyone here. Lord, I pray that that we can find application from your word, Lord, that we are ready to take on the world again this week. Lord, I thank you so much for your love for us. I pray that that you just bless the church in Glendive here and help it to continue to grow for you. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen.